From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 1-800-NOW-OPEN or open.com.
A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints is writer-director Dido Montiel's first film. It's based on his memoir of the same name, about his own experiences growing up in the 1980s in a tough part of Astoria, Queens. The film won both the Dramatic Directing Award and a Special Jury Award for Best Ensemble Performance at the 2006 Sundance Film Festival, and that ensemble cast includes Robert Downey Jr., Janice Palminteri, Diane Wiest, Channing Tatum, and Rosario Dawson. Trudy Styler is one of the producers, and her husband Sting is one of the executive producers. The film opens today at the Angelica and Lincoln Square Cinemas and brings Dito Montiel, Chaz Palminteri, and Trudy Styler to my show today. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Dito, I'm sure many writers fantasize that their book will be sold to the movies, but few also dream of doing the adaptation and then directing the film as well. Had you ever written a script or directed before this?
No. It's very strange. Still is a bit strange, but no. I'm just a giant fan of movies, you know.
But you couldn't have done it without Sundance.
No, I couldn't have done it without a whole bunch of people. And Sundance was a nice thing to come into the mix, you know.
They taught you how to write a script?
They helped. I mean, you know, when you know you get it was a crazy process. I guess it always is. You know, I had known Robert Downey just from roaming around New York and Los Angeles, kind of. Impossible to not bang into one of us, and certainly us to not bang into each other. And, I had the book out, and it just, I had sort of dreamt, wow, this would be fun. And I worked with a guy in a dub room, and we shot a little ridiculous minute long thing on a video. And Robert came in one day, and I showed it to him, and he said, wow, this is cool. And our friend Jonathan Elias, who owned the place that we were working for, he actually did the score. He got us all together, and it was like, okay, let's make a movie. And Robert brought Trudy down about a day later, maybe 2 days, I don't know. And it became this insane, great process that I wish I could explain better than to say it was very wild.
Well, before I get to what Trudy did here, both Trudy and Chaz have directed as well. Dito makes it sound so easy.
Well, it's easy when, you know.
You've written scripts as well.
Yes, you don't have to go to Yale and go to Columbia. You don't have to take writer, you know, to learn how to write a screenplay. You know, some people are storytellers. You know, Dito's a storyteller. And if you're a storyteller and he has a visual eye, you could be a director. I know that sounds simple, but, you know, to be quite honest, you know, he's gifted. You have a gift. So can't be ashamed to say it. You know, that's why he did it. That's why Trudy believed in him. And that's why she saw it in him. And she let him direct it.
Trudy, you live in England. You have your own career as an actress. So how aware are you of things that have been workshopped at Sundance?
Oh, well, I entered the frame way before Sundance, really.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We'd already evolved a script. Mm-hmm. I came into the picture, as Dito said, you know, through Robert, and we looked at the book, and I thought there was, you know, a lot of movies potentially in this book, but the compelling story that I believed in, Dito wanted to tell, was this story, the struggle of leaving and coming back. And what's been important to me as a producer is I've learned the hard way that it's story, story, story. If you don't have a great script, you don't have a movie. It's nothing that you can fix in the editing room, post-production, forget it. Unless your script is there, your shooting script is there, you haven't got a movie. So I have to say that I've been quite strict, Madam Strict here, with encouraging the writer directors to really get, you know, a cracking script. And so we worked on it, we evolved it into something that was pretty good, and then I think Sundance came and Dito's writing skills really improved under the Institute's influence.
Well, you've had a history of supporting first-time directors, but generally it's been for British films, and usually with films that have significance for women, this is largely a movie about guys hanging out together, and the girls are generally kept in the background.
Oh, I think that my reputation probably is for making bad boy movies. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels was one of my first successes. So, I like being with the boys.
Chaz, how far into the process were you cast as Ditto's father?
Oh, at the very end. I mean, everything was done by the time I got involved. I read the script, and I really liked it a lot. I mean, it just spoke to me, and it had a great story, like Trudy said. You know, I read a script, and people, how do you decide? I decide by the story. It had a wonderful story, and I said, I want to be involved in it.
And also, it's a fine part.
Yes.
The character you play, Monty, is very controlling, but despite his obvious faults, we understand him and even sympathize with him.
Exactly.
And partly that's through the way you play him.
Well, whenever you get a chance to play a character where you could show rage and love and anger at the same time, it's exciting for an actor to play that. You know. So for me, when I read it, I knew that I could. It was in my wheelhouse that I could really nail this.
Well, he has no clue as to what's going on inside his son. In fact, he seems to discourage all the good things that Ditto aspires to, partly because he thinks that he should just spend the rest of his time in the neighborhood,
like
everybody else.
Exactly. He doesn't want his son to leave. He knows that if his son leaves, what does he have? He has, his wife and him are kind of like made a truce. They love each other, but it's more like a truce, and they're together. But it's more like, what do I have if my son goes? I have nothing.
Ditto, the film begins when Ditto. I mean, one of the things that you've done here is you've
bizarre, yeah.
used your own name. Are the other names also the real names?
Well, you know, we mixed and matched, all different people. Giuseppe, my friend, he was deported actually to Italy for being arrested so many times. And when we were we were just in the Venice Film Festival, and I called him up, and he was overwhelmed. He said, "I heard I died." You know. So we mixed.
He died in the movie.
In the movie, yeah. Oh no, he's still alive. deported but alive. We just mixed all different people's stories. We had a friend Billy who had died riding on the trains, and when we were talking about that, we spoke to the New York subways, and they're like, "You're not putting someone on top of the subway." So, it was all an evolution of mixing different stories into, you know. But of course, you know, every time I would try and change a name. Because, of course, like, the characters were based, you know, primarily in the way they speak, at least, people I had known. And every time Giuseppe, I tried to change his name to Bobby for a minute, and he didn't sound like Giuseppe anymore, you know.
So you were caught in some kind of bind, because there's always this inclination to throw out all of the stuff in a book and to create a three-act movie version of a story.
Yeah, I mean, if I had known what... I didn't even know that three acts... I thought it was five acts. we threw out lots of stuff from the book. We really just used it as a bank of emotions, I think, in just every once in a while. I like this, and we like that. And Trudy would say, "Oh, this is an interesting thing." So we really just combined a lot of, you know, maybe 10 kids into four. It was really the story of three people, I thought, that had a very hard time letting each other know exactly how they felt about each other.
You even left out the part about your being a former model and the lead singer with one of the most successful, unsuccessful punk metal bands in history.
Oh, yeah. We made a whole lot of nothing.
Now, these teenagers are... This film really reminded me more of things that happened in the 50s and 60s here in New York, but takes place in 1986. But these kids aren't running errands for a mob boss or selling drugs. Mm-hmm. They're just getting into a lot of fights over turf, and they have this code of behavior that requires that you always protect your buddy. Was that what it was like in Astoria in the 80s?
You know, it was, I mean, the you know, when you make a film, the one thing was always to pick a perspective, and it always felt like the perspective for me, you know, a decision was that Antonio and Monty would sort of tell the story, and they really meant everything they said. It was a beautiful place, and it is a beautiful place. I love Astoria, Queens, you know, and it was supposed to be, you know, well, why would you leave? You know, we even put a line in it where Diane Weiss says, you know, your father, he would pass a lie detector with flying colors, because he would. He's not lying. Antonio's not lying. Everyone was doing the best they could. And the violence and all that happens, you know, my mother used to say about the Kennedys, you know, everybody would say, oh, the Kennedys, they're so tragic. She'd say, you have 15 kids. What do you want? Everybody to be happy? So, I mean, you know, things go bad, but it was a nice place to grow up, as strange as that may sound. But
now, Ditto's been talking about Antonio, who's played very effectively by Channing Tatum, I think surprising a lot of people who think of him as a model-turned actor. But, mm-hmm. Chaz, it must have been exciting to see this kid really develop, and I gather to some degree encouraged by you off the screen as much as you encourage him on the screen, probably on the screen in screwed up ways.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to work with these young actors who, you know, they have a lot of weight to them. I mean, Channing and Shia, you know, they're young actors, but they're very talented, you know. They just have that weight to them. They're able to go into emotions that you would think it would take years, you know, an older actor to get. But, I mean, that's why they're stars now, because they're really good.
My guests are Chaz Palminteri, Trudy Styler, and also Ditto Mantil. We're talking about a new film called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints, which opens today at the Angelica and the Lincoln Square Cinemas. And what role do you play in nurturing a film like this, Trudy?
Mother, but I think I'm my credit is producer.
But, you know, look, today a movie, the credits come on, and we see producer, and then we see producer, and then we see producer, right. And then we see producer. They all have different kinds, associate, assistant, mother to the whatever. And after a while you wonder, how many people can produce one movie?
I think my strength is that I'm a creative producer. So, I think I'm quite good at identifying what a story is that could be cinematic. Because I'm an actress myself, I have a good taste when it comes to judging a good actor from a bad one. So I hope that I was helpful in that process. It's kind of you're on the job really soup to nuts from the time that I read the book until the time this baby goes out into the world today. It's my job to make sure it'll have the best possible life. So there's a myriad of things that I can say that I do what I owe a big thank you to, because if this film doesn't exist without it being paid for. We were incredibly unlucky by being in bed with the wrong people financially on two occasions,
Ditto says mobsters.
Well, I'm a bit more of a lady, so I won't go there. But they weren't very kind, and it was pre-production, so we've got this whole machine working, and it was Ditto's birthday, I remember, and we had lost our financing for the second time, and I said to Sting for the first time in my marriage, look, I can't let this film go down. It's too important, and it's Ditto's birthday. Yeah. And he said, okay. You know what? He said, screw it's Ditto's birthday. I don't care about that. I care that this is a good film, and I'm going to help out. And he stepped up like the gent he is. And then very quickly after that, original media came on board, Charlie Corwin, who gave us The Squid and the Whale. And then the heavens kind of opened. The sun came out, and we attracted, with this cracking script and some finance, some amazing talent, as you've described.
Well, I've been looking at some of the reviews. I love the film, but when looking at some of the reviews, and I would say that 75% say this is a fabulous film. And it really resonates on a universal level. And 25% don't get it. Why do you think that is? Is it because they didn't grow up in New York? Or is there something else that's going on, Ditto?
I hope it's something else. I mean, I get Brokeback Mountain and I'm not a gay cowboy, you know? If I knew why people didn't like it, I don't know. I love it. I mean, you know, I mean, it really came out exactly, actually slightly better than I had hoped, and I know director's supposed to come out here and say that, especially on opening day, and I'm fortunately or unfortunately I'm not that guy. I come here and say it sucks. You know, I love how it came out, and I mean, for a lot of reasons that I thought it was all going into the toilet, it turned into something that I'm really proud of. I mean, there isn't a frame I'm upset about, you know. So if they don't like it, my answer is, too bad, I do.
Well, Chaz, you've directed, as I said, and you've also worked for some of the best directors out there. Is there a difference when you're working for a first-time director?
Yes.
When you're working for somebody who's done 800 movies already?
I love working with first-time directors. I encourage other actors to do that, especially, you know, to work for less and, you know, do the best you can and work for someone who's trying to get his movie off the ground. And read the script. If it's a great story, then meet with the director and then talk to him. And if you get a good feeling, a good vision, that he knows what he's doing, you take a shot. Because first-time directors, they try anything because they don't know any better. And sometimes the magic happens when that happens. Whereas, a director who's been doing it a certain way for many years, look, I love working with the great directors, but they have a certain way of doing it, and they do it that way. Where a first-time director sometimes is much more collaborative and much more open to try things. So I find it exciting.
Well, you also said that you work for less. I mean, we don't want to encourage people to keep on offering you less money than you should get. But it also suggests that you believe in movies, and I know you and Trudy have been involved in all sorts of other things outside of the film world to help people. You with Sting established the Rainforest Foundation. You're also an ambassador for UNICEF, aren't you, Trudy?
I am. I've just come back from Pakistan 3 days ago, actually.
And Chaz, you and your wife, Jana, the founders and directors of Child Reach Foundation.
That's correct, yes.
What is that all about?
That's for children's blood diseases, for thalassemia.
And is that because somebody in your family had
a
problem?
No. In fact, it's funny that you said that, but we've been doing it for 8 years, and last year when I was leaving the event we have at a tavern on the green every year, a mother came over to me with a young boy, and she said, "My son wants to speak to you." And I looked at him, and I saw that the color was not right with him, and I knew that he had a disease from just looking at him. And he said to me, "You know, I really want to thank you, Mr. Palmateri, Phil." And I was really very touched by that, and I had to get away because it was hard for me to stay there because I got a little emotional, and I got in the car, and the woman kneeled down, came down to the window, and she said, "Mr. Palmateri, could I ask you a question before you leave?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Why do you do this? You have healthy children." And I said, "Well, that's exactly why I do it. You know, and that's my answer, you know." And I realized at that moment, because I didn't know. I met these kids one day 8 years ago, and they were just these lovely children who needed help, you know. So I said, "I have to help them," you know.
Well, if anybody wonders about Trudy Schuyler and her clout, you just have to think about what happened to Oprah Winfrey when she tried to get into Harrods when they were closing the store. I read that for Christmas a few years back, Muhammad Al-Fayed opened Harrods early so you could get your Christmas shopping done. Is that true?
Wonderful apocryphal story.
Is that true? Oh, gee, I was on the internet. They said you have a lot more clout than Oprah Winfrey.
Don't recall that one.
But maybe that's one of the stories you made up for Howard Stern the last time.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have this film.
Steer him away from the saucy element of his show.
Can you tell us what A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints means?
Oh, you know, I had a book when I was a kid called The Book of Saints, and a picture book of saints, and it had a picture of a saint in a story. And one day I just had a picture of my friend Antonio. And I just wrote a little thing under it, and then I had another picture of someone else, and I wrote a little thing under it, and all of a sudden it was 40 pages. Then it started looking long enough, and it was like, wow, maybe this is like a book. And a guy I used to work with at Tower Records got a job at Avalon Thunder's Mouth Publishing, David Weimay, and he said, you know, they'll put it out. And it was that bizarre, but what it means, I don't know. I still have the book. It means people I kind of felt lucky to have met, you know. Stories of other people, not myself, just kind of as a reporter in a way, you know, letting you know about, check him out, you know.
Well, A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints is a published memoir and now a film written and directed by Ditto Montil, starring Robert Downey Jr., Rosario Dawson, Shia LaBeouf, Channing Tatum, Diane Wiest, and Chaz Palmateri, the winner of the Dramatic Directing Award and Special Jury Award for Best Ensemble Performance at the 2006 Sundance Film Festival. My great thanks to Ditto, to Chaz, and to Trudy for being my guest today and talking about the film, which opens today at the Angelica and the Lincoln Square Cinemas.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.